ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद्भागवतम् 10th canto chapter 32 the reunion text 14
तत्रोपविष्टो भगवान् स ईश्वरो योगीश्वरान् स हृदि कल्पितासन चकाशदोऽपि परिसर्गतो त्रैलोक्यलक्ष्म्येक परम् वपुः दधात् चतुरोपविष्टो भगवान् स ईश्वरो योगेश्वरान्तः हृदि कल्पितासनः चकाशदोऽपि परिसर्गतोऽर्चितः छायलोक्यलक्ष्येक परं वपुर्दधात् तथोपविष्टो भगवान् स ईश्वरो योगेश्वरान्तः हृदि कल्पितासनः चकाशगोपी परिसद्गतोर्चितः छायलोक्यलक्ष्येक परं वपुर्दधात्
Translation. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arrange a seat within their hearts, took his seat in the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. The masters of mystic meditation include Lord Shiva, Ananta Shesha, and other exalted personalities, all of whom keep the Lord seated within the lotus of their hearts. This same Lord, conquered by the intense, selfless love of the gopis, agreed to become their boyfriend and dance with them in Vrindavan, after sitting upon their fragrant shawls on the bank of the Yamuna River. Translation again. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for whom the great masters of mystic meditation arranged a seat within their hearts, took his seat in the assembly of gopis. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. Om again, Tirulandasya, Gananjana Shlakaya, Chakshun Militam Yena, Tasmah Shri Kuravenha, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhunitananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord knows how to arrange the height of loving situations. Actually, you cannot say the height of loving situations because that implies there's a ceiling. The sweetness, the madhurya of Krishna's loving affairs eternally increases, just as his beauty increases in the assembly of the gopis. And as Krishna's beauty eternally increases, the gopis' beauty also eternally increases. Just this fact alone should let you know you're not dealing with anything material. As conditioned souls, people desperately try for just a pinch of this kind of experience in the material world. And they desperately fail. They suffer so much. And they're just trying to get a pinch. But they can't even get that tiny pinch of what is available in the spiritual world. They are sampling perverted rasa, materially polluted flavors of relationships. The real flavor, the spiritual flavor, is in the spiritual world in association with Krishna. The Bhagavatam is reawakening that taste in you for the original flavors. And in this way, you won't remain so attached, so in the grip of the mundane flavors. Material existence is not simply about work and sleep. It's about tasting flavors. Now you have to analyze what is the nature of the flavor of material existence. Is that what you want? And then listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen to Shukdev Goswami explain to Pritchett Maharaj the flavors of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna does this on purpose to entice you out of your deep slumber, to once again reawaken you to the original taste. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord explains, he's the original fragrance of the earth. He's the taste in water, rasaham apsukanteya. That's the beginning of understanding, raso vayasa. The Supreme Absolute Truth is the reservoir of all taste. First, you have to understand that. Seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya. Krishna's the light, the sun, and the moon. Rasaham, he's the taste in water. He's the original fragrance of the earth. If you can't understand that, there's no question of understanding the flavors of these rasas. Perfect loving exchanges with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We should know what our heart is hankering for. We want taste, but we're looking in the wrong place. That huge mistake has to be corrected. And by attentively hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the original taste for the flavors of the spiritual world will be reawakened in you. And then your Krishna consciousness will become easier. Perhaps some of you are battling the shackles of the taste of material existence. And you may think, this is the way it's always going to be in bhakti. You're always battling your past and you're always fighting off the taste of material existence. But the more you participate in the main activities of bhakti, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, association of devotees, worshipping the deity, like that, the more you'll find that the original taste of spiritual existence becomes reawakened in you. And then you understand what Lord Chaitanya has freely distributed in the dense darkness of the age of Kali. Now, let us see how the Lord and his energies have so artistically arranged this Leela, the crest jewel of all Leelas, this Rasa Leela. First of all, he has disappeared from his most beloved devotees just to increase their love, as you'll hear his explanation later, because these gopis are going to, in an indirect, tactful way, some of them are going to accuse Krishna of being hard-hearted and not noticing their unparalleled love. Now, you have to understand that there are different types of gopis. Some are submissive and passive. Others are, they can appear to be rebellious. There are different groups. Some are neutral. Some are passive. Some are rebellious. When you speak of Krishna's most dear consort, Srimati Radharani, she has her own group. Someone asked the question the other day, and then later I understood what the question she was asking. the Astasati. That is Radharani's group. In the Astasati, you don't find anyone in Chandravali's group, or even Bhadra's group. That Astasati, those Astasatis, that is Radharani's group. So it's a different thing. The eight main gopis out of the 108, out of the 1,000, out of the 3 billion, out of the 16,000, and out of the 3 billion. Those eight main ones, as described in the Shastra, that's different from the Ashtasakis. The Ashtasakis are Radharani's group. Therefore, you don't find Chandravali in the Ashtasakis, but you find Chandravali listed in the eight main gopis. But Chandravali has her own group. And Radharani has her group. So in this way, it's so much variegated artistic taste. Krishna is the most expert at tasting the varieties of loving affairs. Now, he's reappeared amongst his dearest devotees. And this is the middle of the night in the Vrindavan forest. You have to meditate on these spiritual sense objects, and then you'll be cleansed of your attachment for mundane sense objects. Think about the fragrances in the air blown by the gentle breezes. The breezes provide a pleasing sense of touch, and they also carry fragrances. Fragrances so sweet from the night flowers that the bumblebees buzzing around think there's liquid honey in the air. And in the moonlight, such a beautiful sight, the moonlight illuminating the forest very softly. Why are these things stated in the Bhagavatam? Just for poetic purposes? Let's talk about the moonlight. Let's talk about the fragrances just to add some ornamentation. No, this is the spiritual world with spiritual sense objects to be encountered by spiritual senses. In the Vrindavan forest, everyone is a devotee. Everything is a devotee. The forest is a devotee. The plants, the creepers. The Jamuna River is a devotee. Therefore, to help arrange for Krishna's pastime, the Jamuna River, using her waves like arms, has piled up soft sand on the bank of the river. And on this soft sand, Krishna has gathered with his consorts. And they have spread their top cloths, their shawls, on the ground for Krishna to sit as an asana. And the Shastra describes those shawls are scented with the cosmetics from the transcendental forms of the gopis. They spread their shawls for Krishna to sit down. Now, with mundane calculation, you'd think, all right, Krishna's surrounded by a few gopis. They put their shawls on the ground. No. There's no fixed number given of the amount of gopis who are there in the forest with Krishna. So how is it that Krishna could sit down on so many shawls? What does your mundane mind tell you? Make a calculation. How many shawls can one person sit on? Just like you spread your cheddar here, someone else spreads their cheddar here. How many cheddar places can you sit down at one time? But remember, as this verse says, Tatropavishto Bhagavan Se Ishvaro. You're dealing with Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with his unlimited potencies, unlimited opulences. By the arrangement of the Lord, he expanded himself so he's sitting on each shawl. This is how Krishna never shortchanges anyone. He perfectly reciprocates with each devotee. Later you'll find that in the Rasa Leela, during the dance, Krishna has placed him by the side, he's placed himself by the side of each gopi. But each gopi is thinking, Krishna is only with me. Because that makes for better love. Sometimes when you think, that person's only with me. But also Krishna knows how to be a bit apparently misbehave and lets his beloved consorts know that he has variegated interests amongst them. That's just to increase the transcendental love. The Krishna knows everything perfect about loving affairs. So, during the Rasa Lila, each gopi thought, Krishna's only with me. With the cowherd boys, when they take lunch with Krishna in the forest, Krishna arranges that each cowherd boy thinks Krishna's looking straight at me as I'm taking my lunch and he's taking his lunch. They don't see that each cowherd boy is having that same experience. Similarly, in Chaitanya Lila, during the Ratha Yatra in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya would dance in each of the Sankirtan groups. And each group thought, we have Lord Chaitanya all to ourselves. Very few devotees were able to see what was going on, the Lord's mystic potencies. King Pratyaparudra was one of them. He could see Lord Chaitanya in all the parties at the same time. But each party was thinking, oh, Mahaprabhu's only with us. Well, Krishna does this. You might have a mundane fear. How can Krishna think they have so many devotees? Maybe I'll sacrifice everything for Krishna and then he won't have any time for me. I remember when I was first reading Bhagavatam before fully taking up the practice of bhakti, I read about the spiritual world and I thought, this sounds wonderful. Goloka Vrindavan. I should hurry up and go there. It's so wonderful. Everyone will try to get there and it'll become overcrowded. So I was making this mundane calculation based on time and space. Like some kind of resort in the material world, the latest resort, with the latest clubs, and hurry up and get there before there's a long queue and you can't get in. So it's not like that. Just see how Krishna knows how to perfectly handle every devotee, from the neophyte on up to the most intimate devotees, the gopis in the Rasa Lila. This should give you confidence. Bhagavan does not simply mean the possessor of all opulence. Bhagavan also means the possessor of desire, the very thing that gets everyone in trouble in material existence. Krishna possesses unlimitedly. Just think about it. If you had unlimited desire, how much trouble you'd be in. You have just a few desires and they cause you problems birth after birth. But Krishna has unlimited desires. And he desires perfectly and his desires are achieved flawlessly. That is God. As we often point out, this is a very salient, a very prominent definition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not simply one who creates, maintains, and destroys. That is insignificant for Krishna. He has deputies doing that. But what is Krishna's main hallmark? Swaraja Lakshmi. This ability is called by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Swaraja Lakshmi means the Lord has the independent ability to fulfill unlimited desires. This is God. When you understand this point, then you can say you understand Bhagavad Dharma, the science of the Supreme. Krishna has unlimited desires, and he can fulfill his unlimited desires independently and unlimitedly. Therefore, with complete confidence, we can say, there's no one equal to Krishna. There's no one even close. Because of this ability to desire and fulfill desires unlimitedly. Now, Krishna is dealing with gopis whom there's no count for. Just like when he leaves the Vrindavan forest, when he leaves the village for the Vrindavan forest with his cowherd boys, they assemble outside his door and they all go to the forest with their cows and calves. You can't count the numbers of cowherd boys with their, each with his own herd. And then there's Krishna's herd. You can't count the cows and calves in Krishna's herd. How does all that fit within the tract of land known as Vrindavan? That shows you, you're dealing with things beyond time and space, and you're dealing with Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tatopavishto Bhagavan sa Ishvara. He's the ultimate controller. Now, Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami about the way the Lord expands himself. In this situation, where the Lord is sitting on countless shawls of countless gopis who have so lovingly spread their shawls, their top pieces, on the bank of the Jumna River. The Lord has sat on each one. This is Prabhav Prakash. Just like in the Rasa Leela, the Lord will situate himself by the side of each gopi. All those expansions of the Lord are similar in appearance. They're all Swayamrupa. They're not different from the Lord in any way. The Lord's original form is called Swayamrupa. In that form, although he's the shelter of everything else, he's the only Ashraya Tattva. He's the only shelter of everything. In this verse, you read Ekapada, the exclusive reservoir. That means everything else takes shelter of Krishna. This material existence is called Ashrita Tattva, that which takes shelter of the Ashraya Tattva. Everything takes shelter of Krishna, even other incarnations of the Lord, other expansions of the Lord. They all take shelter of the Swayamrupa, the original form of the Lord. Although everything in the material and spiritual world takes shelter of the Swayamrupa, the original form of the Lord, that original form of the Lord is what? Kishore Shekhar, always youthful, the best of all teenagers. This is why it's difficult to understand Krishna with material intelligence. The Sarvashraya, the shelter of everything, the Sarvadi, the original source of everything, he is Kishore Shekhar, a youthful teenager. That same Krishna has expanded himself to be with all of his devotees. Now when he does this for, and there's a difference in form, that is called Vaibhav Prakash. Just like Balaram is the first Vaibhav Prakash. He is whitish, Krishna is blackish. It is said in the Shastra that the only real difference between Krishna and Balaram is the color, like that. That's how close Balaram is to Krishna. He's the first expansion of Krishna. But because of that difference in bodily form, he's called Vaibhav Prakash. This is the science of the Supreme as revealed by Lord Chaitanya to Sanatana Goswami. And we're not meant to just think these explanations are not so necessary for us to contemplate. No. Our human intelligence is meant for understanding the science of the Supreme as far as can be understood by our limitations. We have a duty to understand Krishna. Therefore, Kaviraja Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Siddhanta Bolya Chitte, na Koravalas. Don't be lazy. Use your intelligence to understand Siddhanta, the conclusive truths of the scriptures. In that way, your understanding will be strong and your conviction will be deep and not based on sentiment. He instructs Kaviraja Goswami, don't shy away from these kind of discussions. Krishna is seated on the shawls of the gopis. This verse is so beautifully pointing out that generally the Lord is known only to sit in the hearts of the greatest meditators, the greatest masters of mystic meditation, who are performing severe austerities, strict spiritual practices, for huge numbers of years. Finally, the Lord agrees to reveal himself sitting in their hearts. And here is the Lord sitting on the shawls of these simple cowherd maidens of Vrindavan. What is going on? This is real Vedanta. This is the real conclusion of all knowledge. This is beyond mystic yoga, jnana, metaphysical speculation. What you are dealing with is the conclusion, pure love. By that pure love, Krishna is conquered. Therefore, he's sitting on the shawls, the scented shawls of these apparently simple devotees. These devotees, they don't have to study about Krishna. They don't even think Krishna is God. This is Vedanta. The Lord is dancing with devotees who never consider that he's God. Yet they are considered to be at the conclusion of all the Vedas. They're not trying to know Krishna as God. They want to dance with Krishna. They want to massage his feet. They want to say sweet words to him. Some of them want to say some partially angry words. But that's all for Krishna's pleasure. As we pointed out, he has different groups of gopis, and they're all specialized in different behaviors. Some are neutral, some are very submissive, some are a bit rebellious. All these varieties create different flavors. By hearing Krishna's leelas with his devotees, you'll get confidence. Your heart will be cleansed, and you'll get confidence that Krishna knows how to reciprocate with you. Agony and disappointment and emptiness in material life is because you can't find suitable reciprocation for your heart. You try with this person, you try with that person, it doesn't fulfill your heart completely. That's the story of material existence. But in relation to Krishna, in direct relation to Krishna, the heart is completely satisfied by the ever-increasing spiritual taste of the relationship. Here the Lord is referred to as the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within the three worlds. Now the three worlds, Trilokya, doesn't refer all the time only to the upper, middle, lower planetary systems of the material world. Now, as Lord Chaitanya personally explains, Trilokya, Triloka, can also refer to the material world, the impersonal Brahman, Brahmajyoti, and the spiritual world. Or you can become more intimate, more confidential. The three worlds can refer to Vaikuntha. It can refer to Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka. There's different ways you can look at it. Therefore, the Lord is known as Triadish, as Uddhava pointed out. He's the Lord of the Threes. And it's a wonderful meditation on the Supreme Lord to go through all the threes that Krishna is Lord of. You can even expand it to six, because three is a multiple of, six is a multiple of three. So, he's the Lord of the six opulences. If you just think of all the ways Krishna's Lord of the threes. He's the Lord of Garbhadakshai, Karnadakshai, Shiradakshai, Vishnu. He's the Lord of the three modes of material nature. He's the Lord of Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. Beautiful meditation that Uddhava gives. But in the most confidential meaning, he's the Lord of Braj, Mathura, Dwarka. There he has his most intimate pastimes. He's shining brilliantly now as the gopis are worshipping him. You can look at it another way, what Krishna is doing here. He's the super soul in everyone's heart. So, you can look at it that as the super soul in the hearts of the gopis, he's come out of the heart and is sitting on their shawl. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in presenting this section of Krishna Lila in the Krishna book, he says, by Krishna sitting on the shawls of so many gopis, he's letting you know, this is a transcendental pastime. Don't you dare think of it in a material way. With your mundane intelligence, you think, oh yeah, I could do that. I could girl can spread a shawl on the ground for me. Yeah, I'll sit on it. We'll talk. But unlimited ladies can spread their unlimited shawls on the ground. You can sit on each one and still be the same person? No. So therefore, even before the Rasa Lila begins, Krishna's letting you know, keep your mundane brain out of this. He's establishing that he's Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Soon you'll be proceeding deeper into this Rasa Lila. It's always good, as you hear each verse, to pray that, please do not let me take this in a material way. When you feel your material intelligence start to analyze and you feel the mind try to compare it to something you know, then you pray to the Lord, please let me hear with complete submissiveness. Hearing submissively doesn't simply mean you're hearing with, you know, your hands, your palms folded. Hearing submissively means your material intelligence is at bay. It's held back. That's like sometimes when we're walking by the sea there and people have their dogs on a leash. And there are many signs saying you have to have your dog on a leash. A lot of people don't pay attention. But, and you're walking by and someone has their dog and the dog leans at you. He tries to make a go at you. But the dog owner pulls back on the leash. So this is what we have to do when hearing Rasa Lila. We have to restrain we have to pull back on the leash of our mundane intelligence, mundane mind. And with great submissiveness and reverence, we hear these things. That is submissive hearing. We understand the limitations of our material experience, our material intelligence. We just want that Sukadeva Goswami lets his nectar flow into our ears through the sipa succession. And gradually the understanding will increase. Not by material intelligence. Therefore, Rasa Lila is in the 10th canto. You have 9 cantos to prepare. As we advance in spiritual life, we'll find that hearing about Krishna's intimate pastimes are the best cure for material desires. But we have to become qualified to take that cure. You've explained this before. Someone actually gave me an example of a powerful medicine that you can only take when your body is prepared enough. I forgot what it is, but there are such medicines that you have to first... The doctors have to prepare your body, get into shape to take the most powerful medicine which will solve all the problems. So, hearing about Krishna's Rasa Lila is like that. It's the most powerful medicine, but you have to be qualified to take the medicine. So, in this way, I hope we can see all the various levels that are waiting for us as we continue in our Krishna consciousness. Let us never think that Krishna doesn't have time for me, Krishna's neglecting me, Krishna doesn't know me. Even for a neophyte devotee, the Lord knows exactly what to do. And you'll realize this as you advance in bhakti, that Krishna did the right thing for you at the right time for your Krishna consciousness. And then you'll become eternally grateful. All right, any questions? Yes.
You're explaining the Swayam Rupa and Swayam Prakash, and the examples Mahaprabhu gives to Sanam Goswami and Krishna here expanding in the Rasa Lila and expanding in Dwarka and going into the palaces of the different Lakshmis. So, when they expand, then if there's still one Krishna that was the original and he's a little special, or they're all that same person?
Krishna's always special with Radharani. He always gives her special attention. Anything else?
Is there any difference between Lord's potencies and Lord's opulences?
In one sense, opulences are potencies, but still, we want. You see, the Shastra has its way of explaining things, its terminology. It'll be much more precise in Sanskrit than it is in English. You have to understand we're dealing with English. But you use Sanskrit, they are precise. You know, there's Aishvarya, there's Shakti. But English is not a language meant for spiritual subject matters, in case you haven't noticed. What is English meant for? Business. That's why the whole world is learning English now. The whole world wants business, economic development. German is known to be the language in the past, and it's changed in the past 20 years, but let's say when I was going to high school, everyone knew German is the language of engineering. My mother was always insisting, you must learn German, because, you're meant for technological knowledge. And later it turned out that math and science were my worst subjects. But anyway, she had this idea. Yeah, mothers are. She would go up to the school I was going and tell the principal, why isn't the school having German? My son must learn German. He's going to be an engineer. So it was so. Maybe up until 30 years ago, German was the language of engineering. English is now recognized as the business language. Multinationals, whether they're Chinese or whatever, everyone has to learn English if you want to do business. French is still known as the language of male-female entanglement. Oh, a little bit of sannyasi right there. All right, the language of romance. It's hard for us guys to say that word, you know. And what is Sanskrit? It's the language of enlightenment, spiritual science. So in Sanskrit, there are precise terminologies for everything. So we have our VTE specialist here. He can enumerate all the terminologies. He's teaching his courses at Bhakti Shastri, and you'll be teaching Bhakti by Bhav too? Yes. So he knows all these details. It's a precise, systematic presentation. You're always amazed by that, aren't you? Yes. It's not haphazard. The words are not chosen casually. Well, potencies, opulences, what's the difference? It's all interchangeable. In English, it's like that. In Sanskrit, it's not. Even though the English in the Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada said, he chose every word so carefully, he's thought about it. He said, his books are, someone asked him, what about your lectures? And he made a difference. The books are different. I think about each word very carefully. Not that he wasn't thinking when he's giving lectures, but still you have to take the author, the speaker, when he explains himself, you have to accept him that way. He says, the books are different. Meditating on each word for its application thousands of years into the future. Still, Sanskrit is a much more precise language for spiritual subject matter. Anything else? Ladies, any questions? Yes, sorry, I couldn't see back there. Please? All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.